Welcome to CompTIA's Shark Bites podcast with Alan Shark, Executive Director at the Public Technology Institute.
Hi, I'm Alan Shark, Executive Director of CompTIA's Public Technology Institute, or better known as simply PTI. And welcome to another episode of CompTIA's Shark Bites, where we explore tech leadership in government and other related matters. As you may know, we present new episodes every other week, posted every other Thursday. And please consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts so you won't miss a topic of interest to you in future episodes. So today, we continue with season two with a conversation with MJ Shore, Senior Vice President and Executive Director of CompTIA's ISAL. Before coming to CompTIA as a staff member, he served as CompTIA board member and went on to become its chair. And prior to that, he's been a successful small business leader in the IT field and starting his own companies along the way. CompTIA CEO describes you, and welcome here, a highly successful entrepreneur, thought leader, advocate, volunteer, facilitator, and friend are all words among many more people would choose to describe you. But one word stands out from all the others, and that's passion. You're one of those unique individuals with the ability to use this personal passion to motivate others. So I am so happy to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Alan. It's great to be here. I appreciate that. That's a humbling introduction.
So, and we're out of time. I'm sorry, we're done. That's the problem with these long introductions. But yeah. I actually cut it down. You have an amazing track record. So here we are. We're in the month of October. Mm-hmm. And October, as we all know, is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And what a wonderful opportunity to have you join us for this podcast. We always like to start. How did you get to where you are? I mean, what got you into tech? I mean, I find that most of the interviews, it's never been a direct line. Like some people grow mm-hmm. up and say, I always wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an airline pilot. Usually when it comes to tech, there's some interesting stories behind that. And I'd like to know what yours is. What got you in? What made you curious about tech?
Sure. So, this is kind of a funny story. It's going to come full circle. It's going to get a little out there at a point, but it'll come back around. So I went to college in the early to mid 80s. So there you go. I've dated myself. And back then, technology was really just almost barely emerging. I mean, I'm perhaps embarrassed to admit I fed a punch card into a terminal that you had to sign up for time to access. But, the offerings when I went through school, I remember learning DBase 4, SuperCalc 3, and Fortran. Exciting stuff all around. And so technology really didn't bite me then, with the exception of the fact that while the university I attended was all on mini microcomputers with shared computer clusters, my father, who ran a manufacturing business, invested in some computer technology and in so doing had a very early PC. It was a North Star Horizon and he ran WordStar. And
if I remember correctly, I had a K-Pro 2 that did WordStar, yeah.
And I think CPM was the operating system. Mm-hmm. And I only went to school about an hour and a half from where I grew up. So I actually started driving home to write my long papers on the computer rather than a typewriter. So I sort of was bitten by it, but I didn't see a real application for it. And at the time, I graduated with a degree in political science with a concentration in Soviet studies. I was a big student of the Cold War. And the joke I like to make is, my goal was to take down the Iron Curtain, but this guy named Reagan beat me to it. So what was left to do but to go into tech, right? I worked for a few different companies, and to make long story short, I wound up managing what today we would call the corporate CRM. Back in the days, I can't even remember what we called it. So that got me exposed to a bit of database management, got me exposed to networking. And that's when I really started to get bitten by the bug. And before I knew it, I was working for an electronics distributor, and I wound up sticking my nose where it probably didn't belong and said, hey, we should really be doing things differently. We need a better network. We need to integrate our systems. And I wound up as the IT director for inserting myself into that. And the rest, as they sort of say, is history. My career just kind of snowballed from there. I got obviously very heavily into all aspects of technology, and it led me to want to consult with businesses and starting an early, you know, what at the time wasn't an MSP as we know them today. I was really just intending to do consulting for small businesses, helping them leverage technology to help them generate more profits. And one thing led to another, and customers would say, you know, it's great, we love consulting with you, but why don't you just do the work? Why don't you just hire a team and implement this stuff that we're talking about? And so next thing I knew, I had an MSP. And then after almost 20 years of running that MSP, I merged in with a friendly regional competitor because I thought that provided the best opportunity for my staff and our clients to grow and prosper. And then we got acquired by a national MSP. And I rode that out for another, I think, 5 years, give or take, and then decided I just wanted to go out and do some consulting. And you know, eventually CompTIA asked me to come on board, which was not something that was on my radar, but really presented an opportunity I couldn't refuse to run the iSound. As I like to tell people now, couple ironies here is that, you know, that this, for me, this is the right thing at the right time for all the right reasons. And that ties back, ironically, to political science and my focus on Soviet studies, because so much of what we confront today in cybersecurity is about as close to a modern day Cold War as we're hopefully ever going to get. So some of the geopolitical elements of nation state attacks and, you know, what's commonly referred to as the SolarWinds hack, which I actually refer to as a pretty traditional espionage operation. It was just all done electronically instead of the old fashioned way that they used to do it. So it's been quite a ride.
So we're into the cyber Cold War in this phase of our lives, very much so.
Yes, agreed.
So tell us about, aside from the ISA, which I want to get into in a minute, learning more about that, what is it that you're promoting now for cybersecurity mode? Because you're kind of like the lead for CompTIA and looking at all the different things going on. I mean, I know I was a part of an earlier meeting and you drew a chart and there wasn't enough places to put all the activities that CompTIA is doing for cybersecurity. You know, it's gotta be, how do you keep track of all the different moving parts?
It's a challenge, but it's a this may sound a little bit counterintuitive. It's a fun challenge, fun only in the sense that it's very rewarding, and it's important work that needs to be done. It's not easy to keep track of everything, for sure. You know, we have to leverage technology to keep track of technology. You know, there are a lot of you know, between machine learning and artificial intelligence and just, you know, traditional data management techniques, there's a tremendous amount of information that has to be gathered, analyzed, correlated, reported on. It's definitely challenging, but like anything, I don't think this is terribly unique to the cybersecurity world, but when you keep your ear close to the ground and are focused on a particular arena, you sort of naturally develop ways to process more information more quickly, more accurately, with more impactful outcome. But it's a very iterative process because the entire cybersecurity situation is probably one of the most fluid situations I've ever encountered in my professional career, for sure.
Yeah. And given Cybersecurity Month, we have so many activities that CompTIA is involved in. I mean, at least it gives us an opportunity to kind of take a look and do take stock of all the different contributions and all the different divisions, all the different areas. I don't think we've ever seen this. This is the first time I think it's really been organized such a way. We've been doing it, but now it's like, now we're really promoting it. I said, this is what we're doing for our members and for the communities.
Yeah, no, excellent point. You know, we've really, you know, as you well know, because you and I are involved in it, you know, up to our eyeballs, as they say, you know, we've been on this monthly cadence now where all functional areas of the organization that touch on cyber get together, and we're just keeping each other informed of what we're working on. And what's so powerful about that is we find all these interconnection points where we then start working together, like amazing. You and I do, and you know, so many others across the organization, and we bring so much more value to our members that way. Not that we weren't doing it before, but I like to believe that we're being a lot more efficient and effective about how we're doing it now. And you know, the coordinated activities we have going on for Cybersecurity Awareness Month this month are just amazing. From updates to critical certs within our certification pathway to events that are happening, you know, new member benefit announcements. There's so much that we're bringing to the industry and bringing to the members. And I just think we're doing it in a more efficient manner such that the members are getting tremendous value from all of these activities.
Agreed. And I think the best part is while we may be culminating our activities for the month of October, these are ongoing activities that will continue to grow. So it's not like, hey, we did it and we'll see you next year. Happy Halloween. This is an ongoing kind of operation. And I think those listening will be heartened to know that this is just the beginning. There's a lot of other things. So let's talk about that. Many of the people who are listening in on this podcast are familiar with MSISAC. Because it basically, you know, caters to states and cities and counties across the country. But you have brought in ISAO, CompTIA's ISAO, and I think people may be less familiar with that. It's the new group on the block, so to speak. You're doing some incredible things. Could you just give us a quick tour of what's going on with ISAO?
Sure. Thanks for those kind words. So, you know, an ISAO is very synonymous with an ISAC. You know, for those who may not be familiar, ISACs exist around critical infrastructure, what designated critical infrastructure by definition of Homeland Security. ISAOs essentially do very much the same thing, but can come together under a vertical industry or a community of interest or a nonprofit trade association like CompTIA. And so because we are so focused on the business of technology, everything that goes along with that, you know, our members, in addition to the members that we have with CompTIA's Public Technology Institute, constitute managed service providers, solution providers, IT consultants, whatever you'd like to call them, that service primarily the small and mid-sized, but also some enterprise private industries, as well as many government agencies, certainly many of PTI's members, as well as the vendors and distributors and business consultants that support that entire ecosystem that you may oftentimes hear referred to as the IT channel. So we're very, very focused on helping these organizations improve their cyber resilience, better understand the cybersecurity threat landscape, and most importantly, be better prepared to push back against targeted attacks that will continue to happen. You know, we're not going to prevent an attack. I'm exceedingly wary of anyone who tells you they will keep you 100%. There is no 100% safe. Let's just say it and own it, right? So it's all about how do we help our members truly understand what's going on out there in this, you know, just completely Wild West world of cybersecurity and where the risks may come from to themselves and most importantly, through them to their customers. Because while we may have X number of members, those X number of members serve an exponentially larger population of, you know, SLTT governments, small, mid-sized and enterprise businesses, other types of governments, et cetera, on and on it goes. So it's so important that we help our members have as proactive approach to cybersecurity as is possible. And that's evolving daily. Heck, it's evolving over the course of time that we're talking.
It is.
And then how they can best help their customers also reach those enhanced levels of protection or at least awareness so that it's not an if, it's a when an attack happens, will you know it happened? And then how are you going to respond to it? And what can you do to mitigate the damage of an attack before it actually happens? So, you know, we're hyper-focused on that. We are completely mission-driven in that we believe this was, for lack of a better way to say it, this was a moral, ethical imperative for us. We had to do this because it would be irresponsible of us not to. And why do we believe that? Because we know that the damage that could be done to global economic models, global societal models is tremendous. You know, just I truly mean nothing polarizing by this, but it does not matter what side of the political, economic, social fence you sit on. We have to acknowledge that the last several years have been dramatic, if not dramatic, in ways that none of us really foresaw. And cyber attacks played a large part in making that happen. So if we want to have stable economies, stable societies, prosperous futures for the next generations, yeah, that's how important this battle truly is.
Well, I think you're preaching to the choir. I think everyone that's listening to this are saying, yes, yes, MJ, yes, we're there. Tell me more. And I'm hoping there may be some inroads with CompTIA's ISO, and maybe we can bring in some local government folk to kind of better understand. You know, we have our cyber event coming up on the 27th of October, and we're featuring as a keynote the town manager of Leonardtown, Maryland, where they were a victim of the CASIA attack. And that's such a wicked one because, you know, it came through what we call supply chain, but they had outsourced their IT to an MSP and they did an amazing job. But what they didn't know, they'd be doing an amazing job for like 1,000 clients all at once. Right. So that's an interesting interview that's coming up. So
lessons looking forward learned. To that.
Yeah,
that as well is, as the event. That's, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that event because it's critical that we share these stories, right?
Exactly.
And share them across sort of, for lack of a better way to say it, perhaps traditional boundaries, right? So we're also working very heavily on, and we've had discussions with MSISAC. You know, we also believe it's important for ISOWs and ISACs to
Absolutely.
Work together more because it's only through, look, Here's the simplest way to say it. And to your point, you know, everyone listening is probably going, yep, we understand that, but there are still too many people who don't. This is what the bad guys do.
Yeah.
They talk to each other. They share this kind of information to help them be more effective. We collectively have not done a good enough job of countering that ourselves. And so the work that the ISOWs and ISACs do is probably more important than it's ever been in their relatively short history.
You know, it's kind of like we're talking about Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but this is Cybersecurity Awareness Second, every second of the day. And
100%.
That's a distinguishing factor in this. It's totally ongoing. And the beauty is we're sharing information. And 10 years ago, there was a feeling that if you had the best dam, the best moat, and the best perimeter protection, you could protect, you know, what was inside. And now I think what you alluded to, and I totally agree, is it's probably going to happen. And we can do things to mitigate risk. We don't want to leave milk outside the refrigerator to spoil. We know certain things we should do for digital hygiene and as well as some other steps. But if something happened, how do we recover? This makes backups and other kinds of procedures and policies even more critical. So Let me ask you about something that I know is coming up. There's been some talk about a new cyber monitoring service.
Yes,
that there sounds awful. Can you share some information about where we are with that?
I sure can. So we announced a new member benefit in the ISOW at our London, what we call our EMEA member partner conference earlier this month. And it's a member benefit that we are just so excited about. It's been just so well received. We're calling it the CompTIA Cybersecurity Risk Rating. And basically, or the CompTIA ISOW Cybersecurity Risk Rating, I should say. Mm-hmm. And basically what this is, we've partnered with a great organization called Security Scorecard. And so we're leveraging their algorithms and their technology to assign a cybersecurity score to all CompTIA ISOW members. And it's kind of like stepping back to grammar school. It's an ABCDF scale. But what's so powerful about this are a few things. One is obviously the algorithm by which the score is done. It is quite impressive, quite comprehensive, entirely non-invasive, and it paints an important picture as a tool to help any organization be as secure as it can. And for me personally, I had been a bit of a skeptic of ratings like this because there could be an element of theater to it. Mm-hmm. But the way that Security Scorecard has built their solution and how it relates to our members and what we're trying to do is really innovative. And so when a member joins the CompTIA ISOW, they're given a score. But what's important is what's under that score. And we give our members the ability to drill in and determine why the score is where it is. So let's just play a simple little, you know, assumptive game here. You know, a member joins and they get a score of a 77, you know, the equivalent of a C+. Well, why? Well, it will go through several categories of technical configuration and identify where issues are found that impact that score. And when you drill into those issues, not only does it explain the issue in case you don't fully understand it, but most importantly, it gives you literal step-by-step on how to mitigate and resolve the situation that is negatively impacting the score. So it literally, you know, almost like a practice exam, tells you why something is wrong and what the proper steps are to make it right.
So I understand so this. Go ahead.
Sure.
So they're monitoring the members' networks. I mean, this is real-time information that they're constantly rating. And I'm assuming these ratings could change with a new person, a new patch, a new
they
week.
Do.
And do they get alarms and any kind of warnings?
Yep. So what we've built into this is,
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to understand because I'm hearing all these benefits and I just want to make sure everyone understands that this is not something you fill out a form and then someone rates you. This is real-time monitoring that's going on, that's assessing the members network at all times. And I could see this really applying to local and state government as well, but go ahead, please.
Yeah. And because, you know, because it's non-invasive, as any of your technical listeners will understand, this is based on a lot of externally facing elements. This isn't the same as, for example, an internal vulnerability scan that would point out perhaps some insider risk, but this is looking at your public cybersecurity posture. But it does go deeper than that. It does definitely expose some more internal elements of your overall architecture that could impact the score. But yes, we've built in some additional intelligence to alert our members, on changes to the score that could have more immediate impact than others, things like that. And our goal here is to again provide another way of educating our members and enhancing their cybersecurity posture to help them be more defensive. And in the case of MSPs, for example, or potentially even, you know, a local government, there are some really rich reporting capabilities that we've exposed so that you could use this for potentially some compliance reporting, audit reporting, if nothing else, to demonstrate that you're doing the right things. You're not just
wrong. MJ, there's another part. Even if I'm doing the wrong thing, this is important, because as a CIO, 100%. I can then go to management and say, look at the score just on V. I didn't know this, or I knew it, but this really demonstrated. If someone else can see this, you know, our risk is tenfold worse than I thought. And then suddenly now this is a tool, not only of self satisfaction, but it also is a tool to say, we need more resources here.
100%, Alan. You know, a CIO can leverage this to say, look, we've chosen not to make this or that investment, and this is how it's negatively impacting us and where it's putting us at risk. And the other really fantastic thing about this is we can also, our members also have the ability to interact directly with the security scorecard team, so that if they see something that they don't understand or maybe don't agree with, for example, they can actually work interactively with the team behind the solution and either learn, resolve, or tune things so that it does properly represent what's going on. But it makes it a living, iterative process, but to your point, a real-time process that delivers real-time value.
So one who's been in the nonprofit realm for so many years, this is probably one of the most tangible, timely benefits one could possibly offer, other than the ISO itself. I mean, to be able to just say, this is real, and this is something we're going to monitor 24/7, I can't imagine anything more useful than that. So switching gears a little bit, I understand that you're going to have a podcast.
Yeah.
Podcasts are fun. They're very popular, although it's
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You've done such a great job that everybody said, you've got to follow Alan's lead.
I don't know about that, but I think there's such a market for it because I think the formula that we use, short, sweet, to the, you know, right to the point. And then people want more information. They know who to turn to. But it's cyber being so important. I mean, this is kind of like another tangible benefit that will really help people. So how often is this going to be broadcast? And you have a name for it, I believe.
We do. So this is going to be a little bit unique. And it's all about meeting the members where they are. And so one of the things that we do in the ISOW is we issue alerts for critical vulnerabilities throughout the week. We issue a weekly summary report and a weekly video report at the end of the week for someone to sort of get a digest of all that's taken place. And we have online forums where discussions take place. There's just there's a lot going on there. So we're going to launch a podcast that we're calling Cyber Five, the subtitle being This Week in IT Security. And it's basically going to be a look back at the prior week's happenings. So it'll be the top five things that have taken place within the ISOW over the previous week to really highlight things that members need to be sure that they're paying attention to. And it'll certainly bring in some outside pieces of information from time to time as well. But the idea is this will launch every Monday. It'll be a pretty quick, little bit shorter than this podcast, probably not much more than a 10 to 15 minute max snippet of, here are the Cyber Five for the last week to make sure that our members are, not missing any critical information. And again, meeting them where they are. So if, one of the things with cyber security in general is there is so much information coming from so many directions. We're hoping that the podcast will be a really attractive medium for someone when they're, they could just be hopping in the car to drive to the grocery store. And this will give them a chance to make sure they didn't miss, in a perfect world, they'll listen to it and they'll go, yep, I saw that. Yep, I saw that. Yep, sure. I saw that. But we'll certainly be looking for feedback on it. But we think we've got a design here that will deliver some nice value for members.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. You've been listening to the Shore and Shark Show. Say that real quick.
I love it.
Yeah, you and I could have quite a time.
Or sharks near the shore.
Yeah, something like, boy, we could have fun thinking about that.
We could.
We've been listening and having a wonderful conversation with MJ Shore, who is Senior Vice President and Executive Director of CompTIA's ISOW, former Chairman of the Board, board member for many, many years. It has been absolutely delightful talking. Boy, did time go by quickly in this one.
Certainly did. I have thoroughly enjoyed this, Alan. I can't thank you enough for asking me to come on.
Well, thank you. And for those listening, by all means, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We have lots of great topics coming up. We have more in cybersecurity for the month of October, many activities planned, but also throughout the year. So with that, we'll see you until next episode. Thanks for joining us.
This has been a production of PTI, the Public Technology Institute. To learn more, visit pti.org.